The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Mind Pump listeners.
It's the final, final 5 days.
There's only 5 days left.
That's right.
For our huge beginning of the year January promotion. It's our brand new Maps Super Bundle, which takes all of our Maps programs.
Got them all.
Puts them together, discounts them tremendously.
It's Maps like Anywhere, Maps Prime, Maps Red, Maps Anabolic, Maps Performance, and Maps Aesthetic all in one.
It's roughly about a year's worth of exercise programming, and it discounts them by over 30%. So it's 30% off. And
that's not all, Sal.
That's not all. And you get the nutrition and fasting guide for free for enrolling in the Maps Super Bundle. This month only. You have 5 days left.
Boom.
This is it. Begin the year with all the programming you're going to need to get your body where you want to get it. You can find it.
You also get 50% off the forum when you do this, too.
Oh, you get all kinds of... Yeah, that's right.
Tons of savings.
Listen, you can find all of this at mindpumpmedia.com.
Get it.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Feel the heat.
Hey, you guys.
Do it. Sing it, Justin. What were you singing earlier? What were you? You were singing some. Oh, Mentos.
Fresh and better. Fresh and better now. With Mentos, fresh and full of life. Nothing gets to you. Staying fresh, staying cool.
Yeah.
You've done that more than once.
That's good.
I have.
Makes me want a Mentos.
Did you guys ever eat Mentos?
The fresh maker.
Yeah.
The fruit ones, right?
The fruity ones are. Oh, I had
they're
both.
They're fucking delicious.
The fruity ones
the
are
The fruit
awesome.
Ones are amazing. Oh,
they're terrible. What are you guys talking about?
You don't
what?
Like them?
Tic Tacs, bro. Why would you go
what?
Mentos?
You can't compare a Tic Tac to a Mentos.
Tic Tacs.
Tic Tacs too little.
Tic Tacs are good, but they're not.
Tic Tacs are like, they're fucked
up, man.
I mean, yeah,
you end up eating like half the...
Yeah, there's like this little tiny... Yeah, it's like a little tiny little thing that you get.
I mean, that's true.
I used to... I would buy the orange ones, the orange flavored ones, and I'd just smash them all.
It doesn't do anything for your breath.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Like,
isn't sugar proven to make us have
worse
bad breath? Yeah, worse
breath. I never got that.
Isn't that ironic?
Wow.
Isn't that ironic? Yeah.
And it's in your toothpaste, so what the fuck?
It's all a scam.
No, yeah. I don't
just
eat.
Squeeze it. In anything.
It's, you know, like what? It's like how Planet Fitness serves you pizza
while you're in there to work out.
That's right. Here, brush your.
You're gonna stay in here.
Yeah, brush your teeth. Here you
don't
go.
Don't think
more
you can
toothpaste.
Work your way out of this.
The same company that makes Tic Tacs also makes Crest toothpaste.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Supported by your dental association.
It's a scam.
It's a scam.
Cavity.
It's a scam.
Cavity. I'm maintaining it. Cavity.
Do you guys have cavities? You guys get a lot of cavities.
I've never had a cavity.
Never?
Mm-hmm. Which about, is, isn't that crazy
serious?
Considering I'm a candy guy?
Me neither.
No cavities.
I've never had a cavity either.
Screw you guys.
You get a lot of cavities?
Well, it's because I got the teeth grinding thing, and I think it's easier for that shit to get in there.
So you know what the main...
You got to stop chewing on rocks, dude. Yeah. It cannot be good for your grill.
He's like that rock monster from...
I get hungry.
What was that? What was that movie? Never Ending Story? You're like the rock monster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
God, you remember the song to...
Never of course. That's the old,
it's like
dude.
The best.
Full of worthless information.
It's the best.
Dude, that was the best.
Come on, man.
Come on, bro. All right, what's the name of the horse?
Just bringing back memories.
What's the name of the horse?
Atreyu!
No.
No, wait, that's the guy.
No.
Come
on, Justin. Squeeze your brain.
Those nootropics kicking in yet?
No. Yeah.
Wasn't it A-Trax or something like that? A-Trax. No.
A-Trax?
It was something like that. A-Trax.
No,
no Googling it. Somebody will show. Somebody on the forum will send it to you.
No, I want to know now.
Let him tell you.
I just know Atreyu because
that's
a great name.
Yes, A-Trax. I think his name is, let me look it up, horse from...
Wow, I can't believe you guys remember
the
that.
The horse? Like, what was the dog's name, right?
The big dog?
Yeah.
The flying dog?
Flying dog.
Oh, that was, shit.
Right now, all the millennials are like, what the fuck are you guys talking
A-Trax
about?
Right? Oh, Artax. Oh, so close.
Oh, Artax,
I had the name, the R, and then the childlike empress.
Okay.
Bastion was the dude's
Bastion,
name.
Bastion,
Bastion was the kid's
Bastion.
Name.
Bastion.
So I had a crush on the princess girl.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
when I was a kid. Not now. She's a child, for fuck's sake.
Okay.
I was a kid when that came out. And I had a thing as a kid. I had a thing for fairy-like faces.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so picture. Okay, so what's a fairy-like
face?
So
you really like Legend.
So what is
that movie?
Oh, my God, dude. I must have.
Those were creepy as fuck,
I must have touched myself to that movie.
Really?
What, oh, my God, dude.
What, when I was a kid, what is a fairy-like face? What are the features of a fairy-like face?
Warm.
They got
warm,
like
warm, soft
pudgy
skin.
Pudgy cheeks. No, not
glitter. No, like,
no, not pudgy.
No, a fairy-like face has like this.
I don't know.
If there's one,
is it really pointy?
Oh,
there's two things in particular. Three things in particular.
It's like almost a witch.
There's a nose. It's a small, like fairies have a small nose that points up a little bit. Points up a little bit at the end.
Okay, like a pig nose?
Not a pig nose. Not too much. If it goes too much, then you look piggish.
Like a pig fairy?
No, it's just a slight, it's a small, slight
little
turn up at
nub.
The nose. No, okay. Just a slight turn up.
Just slight.
Then they also have wide set eyes, so really nice big eyes that are
so,
slightly wide
so
set.
Bug eyes.
Not bug eyes, but kind of like.
What kind of fairy are you fairying?
No, like Mary, like Mila Kunis has eyes like that where they're big, but they're kind of a little bit wide set. Huh? And a slight, just a slight overbite.
What?
Yes.
Whoa.
Those are fairy. Look up fairy face.
Very specific.
That
look
up fairy face. Specific.
Well, I analyze
that. Sounds like a bug.
I'll
it
tell
does
you.
Sound like a bug.
No, dude.
You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah.
You like.
You sound like it sounds like you're masturbating to a praying mantis.
No, yeah, dude. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Exactly.
No fairy feet. Fairy feet. Okay, here we go. I'm looking at fairy face features.
Fairy
see what it comes
fairy face features.
Yeah,
say that three times fast.
Yeah. So Peter Pan, what Tinkerbell must have really got you off.
No, she's kind of cute, actually. Remember
the Julia Roberts version?
And the one cartoon where she...
Yeah,
she
was hot.
Peter Pan, where she shakes her butt. Remember that little scene there where she shakes her butt? She gets out. She gets stuck in the drawer.
God, yeah, you have weird-ass fantasies.
It's not a fantasy, dude. Yeah. It's just...
I literally, like, rewinded that part, like, thousands of times.
I only did it a couple times.
Yeah, thousands.
It's only a couple times. Anyway, the reason why I analyzed fairy faces is because I was so, especially when I first started dating my girlfriend, I was so enthralled with her profile. I love her profile. I'm like, God, why? What is it about? I'm like, oh my God, you look like a fairy. She got a fairy face.
Yeah.
So then I Googled it, looked it up, and sure enough,
Hashtag FFF, fairy face fucking.
Whoa.
Pretty much.
Well, there, YouPorn.
Yeah, sure, that's a thing.
What is this?
YouPorn?
Yeah.
That's old, man. Who goes on YouPorn anymore?
I don't know.
You got to up your game, dude.
Damn, that's all I know.
Go to Pornhub.
Is that where all the action's at now?
That's the Il Nana of porn sites, or I think the most popular, I should say.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Of porn sites. I didn't even know. I'm out of it.
So, and you know what Pornhub does is they actually will publish trends.
Oh.
So you could see like what kind of porn
people
are looking at the most.
People are fucking disgusting and they're looking at this.
Yeah, so they'll show like people in the South are into, you know, cousins fucking and, you know, all kinds of interesting. That was a real bad stereotype.
Wow. Yes, that was.
Oh, yeah.
Doug, you're going to have to need to edit that.
Sorry, Doug, make sure you edit that out. Don't offend anybody.
We got a lot of Mississippi listeners.
I don't want to offend any cousin fuckers. You know, I can't talk shit.
Hashtag cousin fucker.
I'm Sicilian, and in our culture, like two generations ago, it was perfectly acceptable to marry your first cousin.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Got a few in my family.
Okay.
Do you really?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I've got two.
This explains a lot.
There's two couples in my family who are both first cousins.
Really?
Family functions.
Which,
getting functional.
There's some benefits to it. You don't have to change your last name.
Oh, God.
That tree that goes, has no branches.
Oh, my God.
Dude, it's only a couple
probably
generations.
Probably have a lot in common.
It's only a couple generations ago,
it's
too.
Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing, so. But I wouldn't do it.
Hmm.
I wouldn't do it.
It's like know. Alien baby.
I've been your cousin.
Why don't I been your cousin?
But not mine.
Why do I not believe this right now?
No, for reals, though. Did you guys, you guys don't train in the morning?
No.
Tomorrow.
Not a morning.
Tomorrow I might come in here. Tomorrow morning I might come in here and work out.
I can do that.
And maybe come in and do a little
thing.
Yeah,
no, if you're coming in here and like before we work, that's not that early. So I got no problem coming down here.
Maybe,
do some work,
man.
For sure.
So you haven't trained yet today then?
Let's do a tripod.
No, after we record, I will. So that's the plan.
What
today.
Are you hitting today, Adam? Biceps?
Yeah, pretty much all I
biceps
train.
Biceps and triceps?
All thighs.
You know, I was actually training and God, I've lost so much strength. In my my bicep curls.
Really?
Yeah.
Good thing doesn't really matter.
It doesn't. It doesn't make that big of a difference. Well, I notice a small difference. There is a difference, but I mean, God, the amount of work that I'd put into them before to get them to get a quarter of an inch bigger, the amount of volume that
every inch counts.
It does. Mm. That's what she says. So
Google that, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a movie that you don't want to watch. So for reals, what are you working today? What are you going to be doing?
Just whatever? You know what? I don't know. I got some Prime stuff to get going here, so I need to make sure that I work on my mobility. I've been making continued progress on my squats. So I'll probably do some squats. I don't know. I haven't done some heavy squatting in a while, and I'm due for it. But I'm waiting for that day where I get in, I prime my body, and I'm kind of feeling it. So if today's that day, I will. Otherwise, I'll just do some light stuff, work on my mobility, and then get into my regular full body. If you're asking, I'm not on a trigger day, so I'm not doing trigger. I'm actually training today. So,
What about you, Justin? You do anything today?
I'm doing chest, bro.
Are you hitting tacticals?
Yeah. Shut up. You're not just tacticals. Doing that. You don't do that.
No. I am, Dad. I am doing that, but that's part of it.
You don't even know how to do a bro workout.
Come
bro.
On.
You couldn't
I
do
try.
A bro workout if your life depended on it.
I really want to, though.
You know what I want to do?
When I take Justin to a regular gym, like he has to read the machines.
Yeah.
What's this?
What is this? What is this for?
What is this contraption?
Justin, it has.
It's a machine preacher curl, Justin.
Yeah,
oh, fuck, weird.
I was on that backwards.
So here's what I want to do? I want to do an experiment. Because you know how focus sessions and trigger sessions are amazing for bringing up lagging body parts, especially the focus sessions with the design for.
Yes.
I want to take a focus session concept. I want to use that concept and I want to apply it towards someone's strong body part just to see what would happen. So what I
just
want
to make
you
them as imbalanced as we can.
Just to see what would happen. So what I want to do, and okay. I hope I'm putting this on air because it's a little, you know, putting you on the spot, Justin.
Oh.
Is I want you to start doing glute focus sessions. Let's start incorporating
how
increase volume and frequency just for your butt, and I want to see how massive and rotund we can
make
it. It'll
be like J-Lo. I mean, I don't know how.
You already crushed
her.
No, you've already beat her, dude.
I actually think that a lot of people do this already. Yeah. I think that's
because they love their strong body.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the hardest things for all of us to break. Let's be honest with ourselves. I mean, when you train in the gym, I mean, I have to admit the first probably 10 years of my lifting was centered around what I liked to do, you know, what I love, what I was good at, I mean, especially when you're going to these big chains where there's lots of other bros and dudes working out and girls working out around you. Everybody wants to do their favorite part that looks the best or feels the best or they can move the most amount of weight.
Nobody wants to work what they suck at.
Yeah, nobody.
Then, God forbid, everybody's going
to
see.
To be honest, with that said, I should be doing like bicep curls because I hate bicep curls. Dude. Yeah.
You don't really have a weakness, though.
I do not like to do bicep curls.
Yeah, but you don't really have a weakness on your body.
I do. It's no. like biceps suck, dude.
But you have long muscle bellies. Your arms are pretty big.
Yeah, but they don't look, you know what I mean?
I'm trying to remember when you got really lean when we did that whole transformation thing with you.
That's your weakness right there, if you got getting lean. Other than that, and that's because you don't, whatever, you don't care.
Because I don't care.
Yeah, but you don't have like a weak body part. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know.
So,
I don't
whatever.
Know about that.
Wow, I don't like you anymore all of a sudden. I just realized.
No, it's, I don't know. You could definitely pick something that I'm weak at for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely that part of it is like, I don't like try and build up or like look and see where I can improve based off of like size or, you know, like how it's all shaping.
Maybe
together.
That's why he doesn't have weakness.
Well,
being that
you're a pretty self-aware guy, why do you think that is? What do you think makes you lean that way? Do you feel like you go that way because you want to be so anti? Or
no,
what's...
It's not even that. I think I've figured out. This is going to sound really like, I don't even know what it's going to sound like, but for me, I've figured out like a long time ago how to like get girls' attention without it being like physical. Do you know what I mean? That's all that matters, right? Why do guys fucking get all big and look at themselves and trying, like, they're trying to get chicks?
This might be some wizardly advice.
I'm telling you.
Go, keep going.
It's a stupid mentality because it's like,
you've got my attention.
You know, like, if you can break through that and just not give a fuck about that, but, like, just work on your strengths and all this, and, like, you still get hot chicks and you can talk to them, have a good personality, like, why are you still doing that?
Well, I think that's just plain old being confident in who you are, right? Yeah. I think that's more, I think it's less of leaning down or building muscle or looking a certain way. And that's, I mean, I think that's just straight confidence in who you are as a person. And I think when anybody finally connects that dot, they become extremely more attractive. And that's male or female.
Mm-hmm. Well, so
I think a lot of females that I had dated in my life that are extremely beautiful, you find out how insecure they are, and it's like the most unattractive quality.
True.
I don't know how many times I've been like, oh my God, she is a bomb. And then you talk to her and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, so, just got ugly.
So let me ask. So then basically, in a nutshell, what you're saying is once you discovered that you could get poontang without being ripped, you said,
I said,
I don't care.
Why that?
You know? Because of hierarchy of importances of things that are important.
Now I could just train for what I want to do and have fun.
Which is just be just a
throw rocks and shit.
Just be mobile, strong, and beefcake-ish.
Exactly.
And get the, and
hashtag beefcake.
Beefcake tang magnet. Hashtag beefcake.
That's
tang
too
magnet.
Long. It's too
magnet.
Long. It's not going to stick.
All right. cake tang.
Yeah, dude, cake tang.
Bring that sexy motherfucker.
Bring
bird.
That fat bird out here.
Is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quaw.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-quaw.
First up is Jake X. Walker. Thoughts on hard gainers. I am curious if I have a poor genetic predisposition for putting on fat and not so much for muscle.
I know that feeling.
You know, my experience with hard gainers is that they've been just training wrong. There's definitely people I've trained that build more muscle.
This guy owns Black and Red. Mm. So he pretty much has the best programs.
Period.
In the industry, hands down.
Next question.
So, yeah. So he's still struggling with that. My experience with that, and this is why I'm a tracker, because until I started tracking, realizing how much I really move, how much I really burn, how much am I really getting of the nutrients that my body needs to continue to grow, how often am I doing that consistently? Once I started putting that all together and realizing that, I realized I was less of a hard gainer and more of somebody who struggled to be consistent with feeding my body with what I needed to feed it to grow and then training correctly. So it was a combination of both. So if you've already got the MAPS programs, you've got that part handled. So at least you don't have to worry about, you know, okay, what's the best way for me to lift to grow? Like, you've got that. The next piece I would probably tell you to really dive into is the tracking. And I know that, I know my co-hosts are not big fans of trackers, but this is where for somebody who's having a hard time, it was, and for me, like, I don't care how long I've been doing this for. When I tell myself, even when I'm like, right now I'm eating intuitively, when I say, hey, I'm doing, if I were to still log my food right now and then go back and assess, I guarantee I'm missing in places, you know, I'm missing somewhere. And it becomes very glaring when you actually track and then you assess and you look at this. So, and then you start to string these days together and then you ask yourself, wow, how many days am I consistently hitting these targets that I need to hit? And how many days am I kind of off? And that really, it matters. It matters, especially when you have goals of gaining muscle and you want to continue to gain and continue to gain. That's a long-term goal and it takes long-term consistency in my opinion.
It does. It basically boils down to this. Rather than going to the conclusion that I'm a hard gainer and my genetics are to blame, look at all factors and don't be afraid to change things because your body just may respond differently to routines versus the guy next to you. I mean, when Doug came to me as a client, Doug commented that he thought he was a hard gainer. You know, this is the same guy now. We posted his before and after the other day, and people were freaking out because they didn't think that, you know, in the picture, I think you were 48 or 47. Man, your man naturally could look
younger.
That way.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely true. This is the same guy who, at 150 pounds, I think deadlifted 400 pounds, who thought he was a hard gainer. You know, I've had other clients like this. Like, oh my God, I've been working out for years, and I'm a hard gainer. I don't build muscle easily. And we start tweaking with their programming. We start tweaking and working with their nutrition. We hit the right formula. And lo and behold, putting on muscle, getting stronger, you know, seeing all this progress. So I think a classic, like, horrible genetic hard gainer is more rare than you think. In fact, if you were to look at the spectrum of of genetics when it comes to building muscle and being lean. There's a very, very, very small percentage way on the super amazing, you know, gifted genetic side. And there's a very, very, very small percentage of people who are way on the other side of the horrible, poor genetic.
Great point.
Most
they're both
people,
the one percenters.
Yeah. Most people fall in the middle. Most people are average. I mean, if you look around, most people are kind of in the middle when it comes to all genetics.
This is an
it's
excellent
just a rule.
This is an excellent point because I feel like this is who we try and speak to a majority of the time. And this is where we get ourselves in some debates with people about, you know, if it fits your macros and healthy eating and what's the best way to train the body with full body workouts. It's like, of course, there's always going to be an anomaly. There's always going to be somebody who does something and it just doesn't even matter and they build muscle.
They do it in spite of it.
Yeah, right. Like, of course, there's going to be somebody like that. But it's very, very rare. And more cases than not, you know, there's something that we're not connecting yet. And, you know, I always like to tell people that are struggling with their goal, whatever it may be, whether it be in this case a hard gainer or some of the complete opposite, somebody who has a hard time losing body fat. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side. I mean, there's benefits to somebody who tends to be a hard gainer. The same person who tends to be a hard gainer tends to have no problem leaning out.
Yeah.
Right? Like they have, and then the person who has a really hard time losing body fat has no problem building muscle.
That's interesting.
Well, that's
I've experienced that. You know, it's really hard to lean out for me, but it's a lot easier to gain.
If you really put your mind to it, like if Justin said, okay, I'm going to build some mass right now and add an extra 5 pounds of muscle, you would have a much easier time than if you said, hey, I'm going to drop 15 pounds of body fat.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, there's a lot of factors that go into play with that, you know, with both of those. They're not necessarily intricately connected. In other words, it doesn't necessarily mean because you can do one, you can do the other one better, or vice versa.
No, however,
you do find you do find that because there's other factors aside from genetics. For example, the person who tends to sometimes have an ability to gain weight easier also tends to be the kind of person that enjoys eating more food.
It's an established pattern.
That's the other thing to consider.
This is where I was going with this. And that's why like the whole somatotypes has been kind of debunked, right? For years we've talked about, and even us, we still use somatotypes as an example so people understand what we're talking about. And what I mean by somatotypes are ecto, endo, and mesomorph. And I would consider myself an ectomorph, even though I don't really believe that really exists. What it is that, you know, over the years, and a lot of these are from habits that I've created as a child of, you know, skipping breakfast and not eating till like 1 o'clock. And then when I do, I can go long periods of not eating and, you know, the food choices that I do. So these, a lot of like what is, you know, thrown me in this category of being an ectomorph are partially my.
And you were super active, weren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Always playing
sports. Always an athlete, always playing, always moving. So this, and that was what was tough for me was I always believe like, man, I'm just super, super ectomorph. Well, no, what it was I was a low calorie eater and a high calorie burner. Like I was always playing ball. And then I didn't connect those dots until the body bug came out. And I started tracking all that and realizing like, holy shit, like I burn 5,000 calories a day. Now, whether that number is right by 400 or 500, that doesn't matter. The point was that
it was a lot of movement.
Yeah, it was a lot more than what I was consuming because I wasn't consistently, and if I'm trying to gain, I need to be hitting that 5+, and I wasn't doing that day in and day out. In fact, there were more days that I was significantly lower than that target. So, and then you add in my size and how much I was trying to build, how much I needed to intake of all my nutrients. So, you know, it was tough for me to consistently hit that. So I had to make, and that was a hard decision for me because at one point I decided that my aesthetics and the bodybuilding thing was more important to me than playing basketball and playing sports with my friends all the time. And I went through that and that was really the major transition of me being the lanky, skinny basketball player kid.
Changing your behavior.
Yeah.
You have to understand this. Like average literally means most people. Most people are not on the outliers. Most people are not extremely genetically gifted, and most people are not extremely genetically at a disadvantage. This goes for all things. I mean, intelligence, height, weight, perform, all these different things. When it comes to genes, you're probably somewhere in the middle. I'll tell you what, look, I've worked professionally in gyms for 20 years, and I've been in gyms probably for 25 years because I started working out real young. So I've been around a lot of people working out. And I would argue that the people that tend to work out more often tend to be on the better, slightly on the better scale in terms of genetics when it comes to muscle building. Maybe not like the great genetics, but on the better end of the average, okay? And I can count through all those years, all those thousands of people I've worked out with, I've seen working out my gyms that have worked for me, that I've worked for. I can count probably that I can recall on three fingers people who I would consider who I've met to have exceptional genetics. Literally, I can think about three people. Now, of course, if I go on Instagram and I go on social media, I'm going to see a shit ton of them.
Yeah.
But that's because it just brings them to light. Mm-hmm. Reality is you walk around your daily life. Let me ask you this.
Well, yeah, when you look at social media, one of them's in New York, one's in Texas, one's in LA, one's in Arizona.
When you watch professional basketball, if all you ever watched was NBA, you'd think, fuck, look at all these tall people. Let me ask you guys this
question.
How
many 7 feet people have you seen?
In real life.
Yeah.
No, I think I've seen
probably two.
I think I've seen one, and they stand way out. I see them like, holy shit, look at that guy. Yeah. I think one time in my entire life have I ever seen someone.
Great way to put that in perspective.
Yeah, you never see anybody listening right now.
It's a very small community, but like, yeah, you see them all collectively in one place, so it seems like it's a normal thing.
So what ends up happening is if you follow fitness pages on Instagram and you're into fitness, your perception of what normal or average genetics are is very skewed. And so it's not hard for you to think, well, fuck, I must be a hard gainer. Because what you are constantly seeing are people with better than average genetics and people with extreme, amazing
it's
genetics.
All magazines, all over TV, it's on Instagram, everything.
This is another excellent, excellent point. You know, that's the other piece to this is, so the first thing I would say is like connecting all these dots as far as tracking and really realizing, you know, am I doing all the right things to continue to grow? And then the other thing is being realistic with your goals. Trying to add 10 pounds of muscle on over the course of the next 3 to 4 months is not realistic.
That's not realistic for anybody.
It's not even realistic if you're on anabolics. That's a lot of muscle to build. So like you have your average bodybuilder is extremely pumped, okay, if they can get 10 pounds of muscle in a year. Okay, and they are training at an elite level. Most of them are genetic freaks, and most of them are hopped up on tons of gear, and they're ecstatic to get 10 pounds. That's less than a pound of muscle a month.
Oh my God! If Mr. Olympia gained 10 pounds this year, everybody would freak out.
Yeah,
they'd be like, what is he doing? He must be doing he must be doing something crazy. It's not. You got to have realistic goals.
Gotta
remember, you're probably average. It takes a while for the body to change. Examine your workout, examine your nutrition before you go to the fuck, I'm a bad gainer or a hard gainer, you know, route, because the odds are you're probably not. You're probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cisneros Jarrett, I would love an intro or tutorial on how to use MAPS Super Bundle in the most optimal way.
Okay, so I want to make sure we communicate this to people who don't have our MAPS program, so it kind of makes sense to them why we recommend people do them in a particular order. That way, if someone doesn't have our programs, they get an idea with the rhyme or reason behind it. Maybe they can have some
like a
some
brief
takeaways.
Summary of each
So the MAPS Super Bundle includes all of our MAPS programs,
including Prime.
So it has MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, MAPS Aesthetic. There's MAPS Anywhere, which is the no equipment required MAPS program, and then it has MAPS Prime. Now we tell people to do them in this order: MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, MAPS Aesthetic. Then you use MAPS Anywhere as a workout if you're traveling or on vacation, or B,
deloading,
as a way to interrupt between MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, or between Performance and Aesthetic. So in other words, you throw it in between as either a deload or changing things up. Okay, so that's what we recommend to most people. Here's why it's in that order. MAPS Anabolic is the one we almost always recommend people start with because it's very foundational. It builds very good traditional foundational strength in the major lifts. It's a very general muscle builder and strength builder. You're going to see fast, rapid gains in strength in your deadlift and your squat and your bench press. You're going to build good general muscle throughout the whole body and introduces trigger sessions. So it's getting your body used to more frequency. Then from there, now that you have this real nice solid foundation, then you go to our mass performance, which focuses on mobility and movement. Now, why didn't we start with that? We didn't start with that because mobility and movement, many times we've noticed, are better to work on after you have a nice solid foundation with some good basic strength. Then you go into mobility, and now you can start working with some of that strength that you have, and it starts to translate.
Well, also in performance, there's unilateral movements, multiplanar yes. movements. There's some movements that require more proprioception and training, and it's going to help to get a little bit of training underneath your belt already with the MAPS Red before you transition into something like that.
Exactly.
Not that you, and I think something that's important as Sal goes through and kind of explains how we would utilize the super bundle. It doesn't mean that you can't play with it. It doesn't mean that you can't weave in and out or go from red to black.
No, this is just our general.
Yeah, but we did most certainly build them because the general population will probably benefit the most from it by going the way that
you're talking. Well, now it's interesting that we applied or we just put MAPS Prime into the mix because I definitely highly recommend people at least go through the compass and the test of it just to get more aware of like what your body is currently capable of and what type of range of motion you're working with. So, mm-hmm. you know, that can apply to even if you start with anabolic, just to get a good sort of idea of what you're working with and then what you can work on meanwhile going through the program.
Yeah, exactly. I truly believe that Prime is the first thing that you open and you go through.
Before I would highly suggest
that. 100%.
Before you even go through Red, you open Prime, you go through your test, you find all the areas that you're failing at, and then you integrate those moves, all that priming.
Yeah, right away. You prime your workouts
that's right
according to your body.
With Red.
Mm-hmm. You post-prime, you do the fortification sessions, you throw those in. You do your anabolic, go to performance, then you go to aesthetic, which is your bodybuilding focused type routine. See, now at that point, now that you've gone through the foundational routine, now that you've gone through mobility, now you can do your bodybuilding stuff and you're not going to develop imbalances. You're not mm-hmm. going, you're at least a much lower risk of developing imbalances.
You have a lot better body awareness.
Body awareness. Now you're building muscle. Now you can focus on the aesthetics and the areas you really want to focus on and bring up weak body parts. And then MAPS Anywhere, there's lots of body weight movements, lots of band movements. And that's good to inject in between because, you know, when I'm...
There's going to be a day you're at a hotel.
That's
there's going to be a day you're traveling somewhere.
And there's benefits to it, man. Yeah. There's a big benefit. There's a difference between moving a weight away and around from my body and moving my body around as a weight. It's a different type of control, a different type of feel, and they are different. They are specific. In other words, if I want to get better at body weight movements, I should practice body weight movements. If I want to get better at lifting weights, I should practice lifting weights. However, there's a lot of carryover.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a bit. So even if my primary focus is I just want to be able to move a barbell better, doing body weight movements and injecting that kind of programming will benefit me. You know what I'm saying? And vice versa. If I just do rings and bars and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. barbell stuff's gonna help a lot as well. So that's the order and that's kind of the method behind the madness.
Well, there's also there's a natural progression in the volume too. So when you know Red probably has the least amount of volume in comparison to the other two main programs,
mm-hmm.
then you go into Green, you get a little bit more volume in there, and then you go into Black, which has got the most amount of volume and is designed that if you go back. Round after round, you continue to increase the volume. So, you know, you're saving that for last because, like we always say, the goal is for you to do as little as possible to elicit the most amount of change. So, Red foundational, which I think that's the thing that a lot of times someone will get the bundle and then they feel like they like the way Black looks more, or maybe Green's really cool and it's different, so they want to try it when they're like, oh, Red just seems so basic in comparison to those, but it's so important to reduce that volume, to focus on the basics first. You'll get the most bang for your buck by doing it, and then you progress into the other programs. Not to say you can't do it the other way. It was designed that way for a reason, though, to get the most benefits from it.
Andy Vadnais, what are the pros and cons and your personal opinions on veganism?
So I have some experience with this personally, with myself. So there's a few pros that I noticed right away with veganism. Number one, anytime I fundamentally change my nutrition in a healthy way to try something different, I always learn something new mm-hmm. about myself. Adam has talked in the past about going on a ketogenic diet and how it changed his relationship to fats and carbohydrates. Well, veganism changed my relationship to protein because forever, when I ate food, the macronutrient that I was my priority, the first thing that I threw on my plate was protein. And it didn't consider it a meal unless it had some kind of meat. Like I couldn't have a plate of vegetables and consider that a meal. In fact, vegetables for me were always the last thing. I would throw them in. I'd have them in there because I knew they were good for me and I wanted to be healthy. But it wasn't a priority. It was always an afterthought. Like, okay, I ate my proteins and fats. I ate some carbs. All right, I'll have a salad or I'll throw in some broccoli. Having vegan days, which I do on a relatively regular basis, infrequently, but relatively regularly infrequently, I would say, it becomes a priority at that point. Like I don't think about the macronutrients as much as I think about the kinds of vegetables I'm eating and the variety of vegetables I'm eating. And so what it did for me is it really opened my mind up to a huge world of plants and fungi that you can eat and their benefits. Like, you know, I never ate a ton of mushrooms until I had vegan days. I didn't eat a ton of, you know, purple and oranges and reds like I started doing when I would have my vegan days, all of a sudden I'm like, well, it can't just be broccoli and Brussels sprouts. Like, yeah. I'm going to be eating it all day. So what else am I going to do?
Real fast, right?
So I started getting really creative and I threw different kinds of mushrooms and I'd have the traditional ones or the shiitake ones, or there's these small skinny looking ones. And, you know, now I'm kind of intrigued, like, well, what makes them different? And I'm looking up their nutrient profile and I'm looking up the potential benefits of them. And okay, well, there's kale, but there's green, purple and red kale. And why, what's the difference in them? And do they taste different and they feel different and I can prepare them different. And why, what makes this a different color? And are those compounds that make this purple, are there potential benefits? And I learned that there are. So that was a huge benefit for me being able to go in and out of veganism, was it really broke my, or at least change my relationship to proteins and animal products, so that now I value vegetables much more. The other thing I notice is when I do my vegan days, I do notice an improved sensitivity to protein when I will reintroduce it the following day or two when I'm eating more meat. All of a sudden, I notice this like anabolic boost from it almost. And there is some research that kind of alludes to, it's not inconclusive, but it does allude to the fact that you can desensitize yourself to protein through frequent protein feedings and lots of protein, to where your protein synthesis rate lowers because you have so much protein all the time. So I do feel like I noticed that a little bit. I also notice a reduction in inflammation. And I do notice that my gut flora tends to change a little bit. I feel like I'm giving myself my other certain bacteria, feeding more of other bacteria versus the ones that may break down more of the, you know, fat, animal fats and animal proteins. So that's my personal opinion.
But you're not doing this for an elongated amount of time.
No, the longest I've gone pure vegan, I think, was 3 days. But usually it's just a day. But if we look at studies on people who eat vegan, you will find lots of studies that shows that it reverses heart disease, that it's got lots of health benefits. However, it's very, very difficult to tease out what they call the healthy user effect. In other words, people that tend to want to become vegan also tend to be more health
health-minded,
yeah, and oriented. So they tend to work out more. They tend to do things that are more beneficial to the health. Also, when you look at people who eat meat, they don't really take out, because most people eat meat. Okay, so there's gonna be a lot more people who don't give a shit about their health that eat meat than there are that who are vegans who don't give a shit about their health. There's just a greater percentage of healthy minded individuals who are vegan. So when you look at all meat eaters, you got to tease them out. If you don't, you're getting the skewed results because they're not cutting things out like processed meat. Like, okay, oh, you eat hot dogs, salami, and fucking bologna all day long. Well, we're going to lump you in this category of people who eat meat. Well, that's not fair. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really, it's not the same thing, right?
Yeah, somebody who's making grass-fed choices and good meats.
Right. Vegans tend to eat less sugar, less processed foods in general. I know a lot of vegans that eat a lot of processed food, but for the most part, they eat less processed food than the average person. So it's hard to tease that stuff out.
And they're eating an abundance of vegetables. I hate it all.
Lots of vegetables.
I hate it all. Yeah. If it's got an ism next to it, or it's got a title I hate it all.
It's dogma.
It was one of the things why I had such a hard time when we were talking about ketogenic. As great as I and all the things I learned from when we went through it, this is my takeaway on all diets. It wouldn't have made it into Barnes & Noble if it didn't have some science to support its benefits. Just bottom line. It wouldn't be a top seller. There wouldn't be people talking about it if there wasn't some science to support its benefits. Mm-hmm. The problem that I have with veganism and every other fucking ism is they take some they take a little bit of science, they run with it, and they create an ism. Mm-hmm. And it's not that. It's that, guess what? When you eat a ton of these vegetables, just like Sal said, it forces you to all of a sudden you're eating these foods that are rich in chlorophyll, digestive enzymes, and micronutrients that you weren't ever getting in your diet before, and the body wants. And all of a sudden you start giving, and guess what the body does? It responds to you and says, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for finally giving me all these beautiful nutrients that are all over the world that you're not getting. The same thing goes for what happened when we went ketogenic. When I went ketogenic, I ate more fat in a month than I probably did in years. And all of a sudden I saw these great benefits. And I thought, holy shit. But it wasn't the ketogenic diet. It wasn't ketogenic that did it for me. It was, I've been missing out on these great healthy fats, and I had been demonizing fat for so long because that's what we were taught. So I was scared to ever allow myself to eat in this surplus of fats until I went ketogenic. And then I saw, wow, the way it kept me satiated, the way my skin felt, the way how strong I felt in my workouts. I mean, and how great my food was. Like, oh my God, there was like all these things. I was like, holy shit, I've been missing out on it. And I've never been like full-blown vegan where I've gone days on days, but there's many days where I will literally eat maybe, you know, 40 grams total of protein, and I'm getting tons of vegetables because I've been trying to shoot for 6 to 9 cups in a day. And if you actually truly try and shoot for 6 to 9 cups of vegetables in a day, it's hard to fill in other shit.
Yeah.
And well, so I just don't worry about it.
I appreciate people that are trying to better their health, right? I appreciate that. I appreciate people that are seeking something like this with the mentality that, like, this is going to benefit me long term. It's going to optimize my health in some way. I know there's benefit to it or whatever. Or even people that are like, you know, it's just gross to me. Like, the thought of like killing animal, whatever, I don't feel comfortable with it, whatever. Great. It's the people that, like, now you're judging me. Now you're judging this person. Now this is a divisive sort of a stance that I have to
just like fucking religion.
Profess.
Well, people like
to communities out there that, like, oh, I'm in this camp, and, you know, let's burn the torches, like get the torches, and let's go out and go to these restaurants and throw blood on people, and like, fuck out of here, dude. Yeah. Like,
here's the thing, vegan of all the first of all, when it comes to camps of nutrition, they all have this religious feel to them.
Yes.
People like to feel, it's they like creepy. To be in their little tribe, right?
I think that's
they like to feel like they belong, whether it's IIFYM or it's ketogenic.
Everybody wants to be put in a box.
They want to be put. However, veganism does have a stronger, 100% objective, this is an objective observation I've made. Vegans do have more of that religious feel, but it's not because of the nutritional aspect of it. It's because a large part of the vegan lifestyle or vegan population is not because they're motivated to improve their health. It is because they don't want animals to be killed, and they are against the treatment of the poor treatment.
Totally different story when we're talking about that. Totally different story.
But there is a lot. If you took vegans, took all vegans, and you took all consistent vegans.
But I respect that. I mean, right. I want to make that clear, because I know I was talking shit that I don't like, you know, anything that's an ism I don't like. But listen, if you have if those are your values, I respect everybody and their values and their discipline to fault for that. I mean, if you have a thing with harming animals and that's your thing, and you don't eat for that, I respect that.
Yeah,
and I think that's, I don't know, in my experience, that's less than half. Well, less than half the people that
the
I've
people
met.
Trying that, it, you're right, but the people who stick with it, because they do studies on this, and people who choose to go vegan, and I wanted to say this, these are some of the detriments, because we got to talk about some of the cons of veganism. Here's some of the cons. Unless your motivation to go vegan is to save animals, the likelihood that you'll stay vegan is very fucking small. People who choose vegan for health reasons do not stick to it. People who go vegan because they have a deep, passionate desire to protect animals, save animals, and not see animals get hurt, they have a much higher rate of sticking to their diet and sticking to nutrition because their motivation is different. Their motivation is more is based on a moral philosophy, not one that's just on their health. Here's something else, by the way. When vegans who do it for health reasons and not for to protect animal reasons, when they drink alcohol, the likelihood of them eating meat goes through the fucking roof. They actually did a study on this. It's like because their inhibitions went down and they're like, I'm going to go eat some meat. Pretty interesting. I think this is probably true for everybody, but pretty interesting among vegans. Here's some of the other detriments. Some studies show that up to 83% of vegans are deficient in vitamin B12 compared to only about 5% of omnivores. Iron, we hear about this all the time. It's quite common among vegans to be low in iron. Vitamin D, quite common to see vegans be low in vitamin D, which, by the way, low levels of vitamin D are related to everything from depression to increased cancer risk. And they tend to be low, or there's a large percentage of them that are low in omega-3 fatty acids. And lastly, if you put vegans on creatine, they get a boost.
Cognitive boost.
They get an IQ boost. You give an omnivore creatine, they don't see that. That automatically tells me that they're lacking something.
Yeah, there's a deficiency.
So there's a little bit of a deficiency. So if you are vegan and you're super smart and super planned about your food, you're probably fine.
Yeah.
If you're kind of a haphazard vegan, you probably not need
well,
to take supplements.
Let's go back to that. That's just that reminds me all again why I didn't like the ketogenic diet is if you know the vegans and keto in my opinion are two of the hardest diets to follow while getting everything else that your body needs. Mm-hmm. So it takes way more planning. So that was one of the things I remember going through the ketogenic was just like, wow, this takes a lot of work for me to make sure I get a good rotation of food and I get after all these other nutrients that don't naturally just come into my diet when I'm eating more intuitively and I allow both carbs and fat to come in. Mm-hmm. And the same thing goes for vegans. When you start saying, I'm going to completely eliminate all these meats, well, guess what? There's a lot of things that those meats provide that you now have to go after and find in plants, nuts, and seeds, which is fine. You can do
it just
that.
It takes more planning.
Yeah, but it takes more planning, and that takes a lot more effort. And hey, if you've got that discipline, more power to you, which that goes back into what Sal was saying is, you know, are these people seeing these great results because it's because they're vegan, or is it because they're so regimen? They've now become extremely regimen.
Structure there.
Yeah, structure and dial. Like, give almost anybody lots of structure in their eating plan and watch them see better results.
Just have people start paying attention to their food.
Yeah,
and that's what they've done. Just being vegan means you're paying attention because you have to look at what has
that's
animal products.
That's the real basis of IIFYM, right? You're finally paying attention to your food. Yeah. Good job. That's your first step.
Sean FC, how beneficial are drop sets?
Drop sets. I've been doing these lately.
I just did some the other day.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
So a drop set is when you take a weight and you lift that weight. Let's say I'm doing curls and I'm curling with 75 pounds. I do 10 reps and it's very intense. And then I immediately put the weight down. So I've done my 10 reps, put the weight down. Now I grab a 65-pound dumbbell barbell and I do more curls. And let's say this time I can get 5 out. Then I drop it and I grab a 55-pound barbell. And maybe I do this, you know, 4 times in a row. What I've done is I've gone lighter as my body's fatigued and I've stepped down a few times and continued my reps until I've, you know, a predetermined, you know, ending set. Usually if I do a drop set, I do about 3 or 4 in a row and that's about it.
Crazy pump producing technique.
Crazy intensity boosting technique, pump producing technique. I don't do them super frequently, but I do throw them in.
I used to.
And they lend themselves well to certain exercises, not all. I mean, you can do a drop set with squats, but fuck.
Yeah,
that would suck.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, what are you, the devil?
Yeah. Isolation movements seem to be bad. That's what I do. If I do a drop set, it's an isolation. Either arms, delts, you know, flies.
No, there's lots of benefits to even squats. It's just they're miserable to do that way. The point is this, is that it really depends on your adaptation that you're trying to achieve from that workout, right? So in the past, I was like superset king. Superset, tri-set, quad sets, freaking chasing the pump. Every workout, it was chasing the pump. So everything ended up being, I almost did every workout with some sort of a drop set or a superset because I was so infatuated with the pump. And once I got that out of my head that, okay, all I'm really doing is focusing on this same adaptation all the time. I'm not really seeing the huge muscle gain benefits from it. Now I intermittently added into my routine. I did it just the other day, but that was because the workout was hypertrophy based. So I love to do drop sets, supersets, tri-sets, quad sets, these type of things that are pump induced when I'm in a phase three of any of our programs, mm-hmm. because that's the main adaptation that we are searching for.
You also get good endurance from it too, though.
Yeah.
Besides the pump, mm-hmm. I get really good
strength. Which that feeds endurance. Into most of our phase three. Phase yeah. three is either typically hypertrophy or endurance. And that's where you're getting great muscle endurance there. You're getting great hypertrophy from that. But let me tell you something that I've learned recently, and this is all anecdotal. This is me personally. I always like to talk from the aesthetic perspective because it's a lot of what I've been doing for the last few years. I used to be the guy who, I loved the way my physique looked when I was pumped up in the gym. And then I would just feel demoralized when I looked at myself later,
we can all relate. Yeah.
Later in the day. And because there was a drastic difference. I mean, I was like night and day difference of what I look like. And of course, there's some factors into that, right? I'm 6'3", 220 something pounds. I have long muscle belly. So of course, you fill them up with fluid, you fill them up with blood. I'm probably going to look bigger than the guy who's 5'5", and pumping his muscles for a blood. So already there's a difference because of that. But I have to say, and I'd like to hear your guys' take on this, because I find this fascinating. We've actually never discussed this on radio. Since I've gotten into, and I didn't get into heavy training like we have been, where I'm phasing it and structuring it like we have with MAPS until the last probably 3 or 4 years, I now have a different look to my physique. And we've kind of talked a little bit about the grainier look, or what's this look. There's not as much of a discrepancy between me pumped up and not anymore. The way I look deflated, I feel more muscular now than what I did. I felt like I used to have a pump to look mm-hmm. really muscular, mm-hmm. where now I feel more muscular even when I'm not pumped. And sure, it's enhanced when I get pumped up, but I feel like I've developed different muscle fibers muscle fibers in my body that give me that harder muscular look all the time that don't require this pumped up look.
100%. What you did for a long, long time is you trained the pump adaptation, and so your body just got better and better and better mm-hmm. at getting bigger and bigger pumps, and you did build some muscle from it, but a lot of the size gains you got was just your improved and increased ability to get a bigger and bigger pump versus doing the other phases, which may not necessarily, train that particular adaptation of getting bigger and bigger pumps, but they contributed more to muscle fiber hypertrophy, the actual fibers themselves growing, and or the elusive muscle fiber hyperplasia, where muscle fibers split and you get new muscle fibers. So you may not be getting your capacity to get this massive pump may not be the same, but you've built more muscle, more actual solid muscle. Mm-hmm. So now that discrepancy isn't the same. And this is, I noticed this right away. And that's why when I did the original MAPS, I wrote in there, like, you will notice more hard, grainy, solid muscle from a phase one type training, because it's more of that muscle fiber than it is the pump, the fluid that's going into the muscles.
Yeah.
So it just changes how you look. And I observed this as a kid. I used to follow bodybuilding pretty religiously as a kid. And I would notice that the bodybuilders that were lift heavy and that were strong, they kind of had like this hard look to their muscles. And the ones that didn't kind of had this bubbly, more kind of pump look. And they both look good, but I noticed that hard look was a little different. And I remember reading an article about how, like strength athletes, they just always look muscular. They don't really get a big difference when they're training. Actually, there was an actual article that talked about this.
Major epiphany for me. Major. Like, it's and it's really hard actually for me to explain it. I haven't completely been able to.
There's no studies that even talk about it.
I feel like, trust me, I've dove into it trying to explain it and articulate it better, but there is no doubt in my mind that my body has completely changed in the last couple of years. And that's why I say to you, I'm much happier now with how I've been able to maintain the physique without this crazy amounts of volume inside the gym. And I did. I've always been that guy that, man, when I'm all pumped up, I just feel so great. And then I walk out of the gym and it was up this up and down feeling, which is also what made me love the workout so much. I love the workout so much because I felt great after I got all pumped up. But I'd have this huge deflate afterwards. And now after all the heavy squatting, the heavy deadlifting and programming of that and then phasing in and out of it, now my weight reflects that too. So in the past, if I fell off and I lost some of my volume, right, I reduced my volume, I would see a significant drop in my weight. My weight would drop
this is interesting.
10 to 15 pounds. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll use my weight because I'm tracked this and I'm very familiar with it. So this was a very, very typical of me. I would, if I fell off, my body would drop down to the 190s to low 200 pounds when I wasn't, didn't train a lot, didn't have a lot of volume, right, in my training, or I was missing days, or I'd only hit the gym two or three times in a week. Now, mind you, the diet wasn't dialed in that time too, so I'd see this loss. And I used to say, oh man, I feel like this muscle falls off my body. I used to say that. And now what I notice, that would be me right now. Like, I think I'm training some of the lowest amount of volume I have in years, and I'm intuitive eating. I'm not tracking right now. I'm not pushing to gain. I'm just kind of training to maintain and enjoying my workouts and working on mobility. But I'm holding a solid 215 to 220 pounds without this crazy amount of volume. It's very, awesome, very interesting.
It's a side effect.
Yeah,
it has become a side effect now. Mm-hmm. That's what's awesome about it. And they're all important adaptations to train for. They all contribute. That, you know, so it's not like training for the pump is a waste. It's just if that's all you do, you're missing out on all these incredible benefits that you get from training when these other phases, and vice versa. Like, if you just completely avoid it, because I'm pretty sure, like you said, you just did a drop set. You just did reintroduce more of that pump type training, mm-hmm. and you'll notice the pump will start to get bigger. You'll get that fuller feel. You'll start to get more endurance. Strength endurance. This is why phasing is so damn important, because when you train for different types of adaptations, your body will go towards those goals, and they all contribute to each other. They're not so different that if you work on one, you lose the other one completely. They all build on top of each other, and this is how you can get kind of in that state of perpetual progress where you're kind of always progressing little by little.
I can't stress this enough, and I'm really talking to all of our, you know, men's physique, bodybuilder people, or you know, girl bikini, all these people that are training, because a majority of that group of people train very, very hypertrophy majority of the time. Mm-hmm. So I cannot stress to you enough, and I know it's challenging. So if you don't own any MAPS programs, you're not following that, that's fine. Like, but I'll tell you right now, you have no idea how much you will benefit.
Yeah, just from a strength cycle.
From a pure strength cycle. And so I mean 4 solid weeks at least of you training this 3 to 5 rep range heavy lifting. And I know that just sounds so crazy and out there, because this, I'm not a power lifter. That's not my goals. I'm not trying to be that way. And you will definitely go through a mental struggle, because mm-hmm. you're not going to see the pump. You're going to be lifting heavy ass weight, and you're not going to see this big old pump anymore. So it will take some major discipline for you to do this. So I can't tell you how much you'll benefit though, if you just do this. If I can give you one tip from the podcast today to start doing that, if you're not following a program, incorporate a major
strength. Yeah, do like 3 to 5 weeks of it and watch what happens.
Yes, and then then go back to your hypertrophy training.
It'll blow your mind.
It will.
Listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, you'll get a free Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, check us out on Instagram. This is where you can ask us questions for our Q&A episodes. You can find us at Mind Pump Radio. You can find my page at Mind Pump Sal. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. Adam's at Mind Pump Adam. And the Golden Eagle, Doug Eggy, is at Mind Pump Doug.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.